Hallelujah. Okay, so I started, you know, on this message, you know, like 2 months ago. I had this title for this message and, you know, thought I knew what I was going to teach. And, you know, the closer it got and the more I've looked into it, you know, started studying and stuff, it just went a totally different direction. So that's why I have to depend on God this morning because my head wants to go in a different direction. But anyhow, praise God. Anybody know the mission statement for our, you know, our new mission? Mission, purpose, whatever, goal. Anybody know what it is? No, that's vision. So you got to get these words right. Our vision is growing disciples to build the kingdom. But our mission, or I don't know what, this depends on who you follow. Love God, love people. And it used to be serve others, but Wayne and I just changed it just to keep you on your toes. And just because we were talking about it and, you know, like the message you taught last week about invest and invite and some of the things we've been talking about recently. So instead of serve others, we've changed it to invest in others. Because serving is, you know, some people get this mindset that serving is, you know, woe is me, you know, I'm just low, you know. We're investing, I have something to give to somebody else. So it kind of gives you a different mindset. And so that's what we want. We want our lives to be so full that we have something to invest in other people. Whether they're born again or not, we should be investing in other people, okay? So that's kind of where this message started from. And, you know, the title of it is actually, Are You Worth Investing In? And so that's what got me changed in the direction I was going, because I started thinking about that. And so I shifted in a little different how I'm going to approach this morning. But investing in others, you know, the thing is, we invest in things that we think are valuable, right? If you're in the stock market and you're buying stocks, then you study out the stocks, you look at the stocks, you think they're valuable, you think they're worth something. Why do people buy gold? Because they think it's worth something. You know, why do people invest in things? They think it's worth something. You know, whatever it may be. Why do people collect, you know, various things? Because they think they're going to be worth something. So we invest in what we perceive is valuable or it will be valuable, okay? So the next question is, you know, thinking through this, is if we invest in things that are valuable, that we think are valuable, why don't we invest in ourselves? Because for the most part, we don't invest in ourselves. So why don't we invest in ourselves? So the next question is, do I value myself? Do I think I'm worth anything? You know, do I love myself? Tells us in, we're looking up Mark 12:30-31. He says, and you shall, you know the scripture, and you shall love the Lord that your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. So looking into that, do you know, I did not know this until I was studying this out. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Did you know that's in the Bible 9 times? Did you know that's in the Bible once in the Old Testament and 8 times in the New Testament? I did not know that. If it's in the Bible that many times, it's probably kind of important. You think? Okay? So you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So then the next question is, you know, I'm called to love my neighbor. You know, I talked, what did I talk about? A few weeks ago, we talked about love. And so it's, if I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself, I have to ask myself, do I love myself? Because how in the world am I going to love my neighbor? He says, like I love myself, as I love myself. And there is different kinds of love. You know, we can be sitting here this morning and say, yeah, I love myself. I'm pretty special. Look at me. But that's not the love we're talking about here. It's not ego. It's not pride. This love we're talking about is agape. Agape is God's love. How does God love people? So do I value myself? Do I look at myself? Do I love myself as God loves me? As God looks at me? As God values me? You know, God thinks I'm pretty special. God thinks each one of you is pretty special. I mean, he thinks that we are so special that he made the decision to have his son die because that's how much he loves us. Once again, mentally, you just can't comprehend it. You have to have it. You have to have it inside. God has to reveal it to us, because I don't see how you can figure it. You know, I don't see how you can figure it out intellectually, how much God loves me. So if God loves me that much, I am supposed to love myself that much. If I love myself, then I'm going to invest in myself. It just follows a, you know, a process. How we treat others is a reflection on how we feel about ourselves. If you look at how you treat others and you're actually, you know, you're honest with yourself, it is a reflection about how you feel about yourself. If I'm frustrated, you know, I went through a time years ago, it's one of the things that the Lord set me free of, that I was angry all the time. Just carried, you know, just, I was just, there's just underlying anger. And what the Lord showed me was I was angry with myself. Because one of the reasons is, you know, I didn't see where I had self-worth. I didn't love myself. You know, I didn't, you know, it's, all I saw was how I wasn't good enough. And so with that, you know, it affects how I treat people around me. Even today, if I'm frustrated with me, guess who knows that I'm frustrated with me? Of course, he personalizes it and thinks I'm frustrated with him, but actually, you know, I'm frustrated with me, but I take it out on people around me. And I could say, if you were honest with yourselves, you would say, yeah, it's true for me too. Why? Because I'm not looking at myself like God looks at me. Because I firmly believe when I have an understanding, when I am experiencing God's love for me as how, you know, how he actually loves me, when I get an understanding and I can see that, then I know it changes how I feel about me. It changes how I treat the people around me. So once again, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. It's not a works thing. It's not, okay, I have to, you know, I'm really not too crazy about Jess, but God says I have to love her. So, okay, I love you, Jess. Oh, Jess. And that's how a lot of the church is. You know, I love you. Yeah. Because the anointing is going good on a Sunday morning and I can get it out of my mouth. But don't ask me Monday or Tuesday. You know, it may not be the people in the church, maybe the people that's in your house. But the, you know, you can't love your husband or wife. You can't love your kids like God wants you to if you don't love yourself. It's just not going to happen. You know, it's how we parent our kids is a reflection on how we feel about ourselves. You know, a lot of times parents, you know, they want to relive their lives, you know, for whatever failures they had growing up. They want to relive their lives through their kids. So they push their kids to do all these things, whether the kids want to do them or not. And then, you know, they're so proud about their kids because their kids is a reflection on them. But they don't love themselves. You know, it's just, you know, it's their own insecurities and all this stuff. But we treat people different when we actually value ourselves, when we actually love ourselves. And once again, we're not talking about pride or ego. That's going to produce a totally, I mean, some of the same symptoms will come out, but it's going to be totally different. It's, you know, it's not peace and joy. It's, I'm not sure if I like that person or not. You know, they're so full of themselves. That's not the person that loves themselves as God loves them. It produces something different. So, if we look at ourselves and we see that we don't love ourselves, obviously, you know, God wants us to do something about it. We need to change the beliefs that we have, so we change our beliefs as God looks at us. Once again, we're back to that again. Yeah, it keeps coming back to what I believe. What I believe, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, whether you're a Hindu, whether you're a Muslim, whether you're an atheist, it does not matter. Whatever you believe, that's what your life is going to produce. Now, we have the potential of having a phenomenal life because, you know, we're going to be looking at some scriptures and God has a phenomenal life available to us, but only if we believe it. Amen. It's there. God laid it out, you know, thousands of years ago. It's available to us, but it's whether we participate in it or not, whether we experience it or not, is totally based on what we believe. You know, one of the things we were listening to a CD and one of the things he was talking about is to look at what you believe is what are your predominant thoughts? When you know, when you're not focused on thinking on something, you know, what is it, when you catch yourself, you know, you're just going over in your head about stuff, what is your predominant thoughts, you know? Are they about, you know, the symptoms in your body and how you know, much pain you have and how, you know, you have this and what's the doctor going to say? And, you know, is it about, you know, how bad your marriage is? Is it about, you know, how, you know, bad your boss is? You know, how hard things are at work? You know, how are you going to make it? How old you feel? You know, how, you know, whatever, you know, how bad the relationship is with your parents, you know? Or is it things that line up with the Word of God and what, you know, what God says? Are your predominant thoughts more along the lines of righteousness? You know, on the lines of love? You know, what are your thoughts? You know, as Danny Griffith said to us, what are you thinking about when you're not thinking about, what are you thinking about when you're thinking about what you're not thinking about what you're thinking about? One of those. Because that's more likely what we actually believe. So if our thoughts are not lined up with what God says about, if you are born again child of God, God says health belongs to you. 100% of the time it belongs to you. Prosperity belongs to us. Spirit, soul, and body, prosperity belongs to us. Protection belongs to us. Peace belongs to us. Joy belongs to us. You know, deliverance, freedom from all bondage, that belongs to us. But if our thoughts are in patterns thinking contrary to that, we have to look back and say, do I actually love myself? Do I actually value myself as God values me? Do I actually love myself as God loves me? Because if I don't, it's going to be a lot harder to do what God says here. First, love Him with everything, spirit, soul, and body, we're to love God. And then love our neighbors. If we actually loved people around us, then life would be different. You know, we would not be focusing on the stuff that we're seeing in the news this week. Praise God. So, first of all, Vines, we've read this before, Vines Expository Dictionary, he writes this comment about love, with the agape love. Love can be known only from the actions it prompts. God's love is seen in the gift of His Son, but obviously this is not the love of complacency or affection. That is, it was not drawn out by any excellency in its objects. It was an exercise of the divine will and deliberate choice, made without assignable cause save that which lies in the nature of God Himself. In other words, God loves us because He chose to love us. It wasn't, you know, it's not because of how wonderful we are or how, you know, how good we are. Is because He chose to love us. And so agape love is the same thing for us. It's a choice. But there's things that we can do to help make it easier. You know, there's investments we can make in us, you know, to you know, as changing our beliefs. You know, there's investments, as the scriptures talk about, things that we can do to make walking in love, to make loving people, ourselves included, easier. And so we just want to look at one portion of that today as we go through this. So we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. And I'm going to be reading this from the Amplified this morning because it really, to me, it makes it easier to understand. There's some interesting ways of different translations I was reading, but I think the Amplified makes this the easiest to understand. So 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, it says, "For His divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of Him who called us by and to His own glory and excellence or virtue." So we received the power of God. His power was put upon us so that we can become, you know, who He says we are. To His own glory and excellence or virtue. So His glory is life as God has it. You know, that's what God makes available to us. Life as God has it. That's what He says belongs to us. And the next verse. "By means of these, He has bestowed upon us His precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers or partakers of the divine nature." It says, go back and look at it again. "By means of these, by His glory, He has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises. They have been given to us. The promises of God have been given to us so we can escape the corruption of the world. We can escape. We don't have to live as the world lives. We don't have to have, you know, we're living in a different kingdom. We should be. We should be experiencing life differently than the world is living. So what's one of these exceeding great and precious promises? Tell me one. Huh? Yeah, give me a... You said health. So anybody have can actually give me a scripture out of an exceeding great and precious promise. Yep, Stella? Very good. Okay. 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 Lee? Okay. 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 Lee? Okay. Mel? Okay. Okay. Okay, Lee. Okay. Okay. Jerry. Okay. 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 See, if you don't know the promises, how in the world know what belongs to you? That's why one of the things we need to invest in, we need to invest in spending time in the Word of God. You know, you're not going to grow without the Word. The Word is, you know, that's our life book. It's our guidebook. It's our source. It's how we develop a relationship with God. How do we know who God is? By His Word. You know, I don't have the time to just sit there and talk to God and get, you know, okay, God, tell me about your day. What's going on? You know, I have the Word. He, you know, I find out a whole lot of stuff in the Word, and then I can go to God and say, okay, we can, you know, step farther than that. But the Word, it comes back to the Word. You know, you've been hearing, you've heard this a zillion times. But I'm going to be nice to you and not ask for a raise of hands to see how many of you are actually in the Word every day. Yeah. Because that's our life source. Okay, so let's see, where were we? Exceeding great and precious promises. So through them, the exceeding great and precious promises, that's how you're going to escape. If you don't know that God says that health, that life and health belong to you, when symptoms come, when the doctor says this is what you have, what in the world are you going to do? Well, you're probably going to focus on what the doctor said. The doctor said, so this will come to pass. You know, years ago, we had someone who had lymphoma, and, you know, he was, you know, it was several years, and it got to the point where, you know, symptoms had come back, and things were not going well. He'd been in and out of the hospital. And so Wayne and I went in the last conversation that we had with him, and at that point, you know, trying to find out, you know, where he was, where we could stand with him, you know. Not, you don't just go in there and say, well, you're healed in the name of Jesus. No, where is that person? That's who determines whether they live or die, where the person is. So asking him where he was, and the thing that came out of his mouth, he said, well, the doctor said this is what's going to happen. And a week later, he was gone. And how he died was exactly what came out of his mouth. The doctor said this and this and this and this. And that's what happened. Why? Because that's what he believed. See, that's one of our problems is we believe everybody but God. You know, if the doctor says it, well, it has to be true. Or if we go on the internet, WebMD or Mayo Clinic, or, well, this is what they said, so it has to be true. This is what's going to happen. You know, that's one of our big problems. We believe everybody but who we're supposed to believe. And the only way to believe God is by getting in His Word and focusing on what God says over what the world says. You know, it's one of the things that, you know, it's things that I've been reading this week and coming back to, you know, making a commitment within myself to focus on only the things that make a difference in my life, investing in myself. You know, if you understand where I'm coming from, the most important person in my life is me. Because if I don't invest in myself, it affects negatively every person around me. It affects this church. It affects the ministry. It affects everything around me if I don't invest in myself. And it affects it negatively. My relationship with my kids will be affected negatively if I don't invest in myself. My relationship with my grandchildren will be affected negatively. My relationship with my friends, with anybody around me will be affected negatively if I don't invest in myself. The same is true for you. If your family situation is not good and you don't have a family like God says your family belongs, well then check yourself out. Are you investing? Are you investing in yourself? Are you investing in how I can walk in love towards my family? Or it's just, you know, it's everybody else's fault. You know, it's my wife. If she would just do things differently, things would be better. It's those kids, you know. If my wife would just do a better job, or if my husband would just discipline like he's supposed to, or if my husband would just take the spiritual headship in this household, then life would be totally different. No, it's not about anybody else. It's about me. It's about you. My life is determined by what I invest in. Your life is determined by what you invest in. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. It's good word. Yeah. Praise you, Jesus. Okay, back to verse 4. Okay, we escape by flight from the moral decay, the rottenness. We escape by flight. In other words, we get out of there. We run. We're away from it. That is in the world because of covetous love, lust, and greed. That's the world today, right? Lust and greed, covetousness. That's what we see, at least in America. That's pretty much what it's all about. And become sharers or partakers of the divine nature. We become sharers of the life of God. But it goes back to those exceeding great and precious promises, which goes back to, do I know what they are so I can have faith in them? So it goes back to the Word of God. What am I investing in? Am I investing in anything that's going to produce a prosperous future? Okay, verse 5. For this very reason... Then it goes through a process, which we're going to go through this process. If you want your life to be different, how can I invest in my life? What can I do? Well, right here is a list. If you don't know what to do, well, here's a list to start. You know, one of the things that it keeps coming back to me, I think it's a Chinese proverb that, and it's something along the lines of, when the student is ready, the teacher will come. When you're ready to actually make a change in your life, when you say, I've had it, I am not living my life like this anymore. This is the life. There's a better life out there for me than this. When you reach that decision and it's in your heart, you make a not just a passing, oh, I wish life was different. No, when you make that decision, you know, God, there's more. There's more than this. And it may take a while. I know it did with me until I got myself in a position that God opened up the door to, well, for right now it's Jim Richards stuff. When God opened that door, it totally changed my life. It was so much of what I was looking for, so much of what I had known for years. I just didn't know how to explain it, didn't know how to process it. But it may be something else for you. But when you're ready for it to be, it may be in your job. It may be with parenting. It may be in your marriage. Whatever you need, when you're actually ready, when you actually, in your heart, you make a decision, this is it. I've had it. I'm not going, you know, and it's, I'm not saying, you know, okay, divorce. You're not saying dump the kids. No, I am ready to change me because as I change me, I know everything around me will change because God says that's how it works. When I'm ready for that, then God will bring you. God will bring people across your path. God will bring you a book. God will bring you a CD. That's what happened with me is Robin Hughes brought us our first Jim Richards CD. Totally life-changing. She probably didn't even know what she did. It was totally, but it was time. I was ready. And you know what? Wayne was ready too. That's God. Because I have listened to a lot of different things over the years and tried to get him to go along with me, and no, 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 no. But when we heard it this time, we went together. This is God. This is life-changing, you know. Life is so much easier now. It's you know that song they sang, fun. There's fun in being a child of God now. Where it was, it's not works anymore. There's fun. We enjoy being children of God now. It's not, oh, I go, yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Breakthrough indeed. Amen. Okay, for this very reason, starting the process in verse 5, for this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises. In other words, you got to put some effort in. Amen. It doesn't just happen. You know, you can't, you know, if you just, you know, you just want to go and talk and whine and complain about, you know, oh, life is, you know, I'm going through this and, you know, Satan's bringing this against me and I don't understand how, you know, why God is doing this. And, you know, if that's your mindset, well, then forget it. There is no help for you. No one can make it better. But if you're looking for, you know, if you're looking for life change, you know, God will give it to you. Praise God. So you have to put some effort into it, diligence. For this very reason, adding to your diligence to the divine promises, what we've been talking about, you know, investing in yourself, investing in the Word of God. Employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue. Excellence, resolution, Christian energy. So in other words, first of all, it starts with your faith. The only way you're going to accomplish all this is by faith. And my faith, once again, is not something, okay, I have to, is this something I use, you know, that I've got it. When I get really spiritual, I'm going to have more faith. And it's, you know, it's just another works I have to do. Faith is simply trusting God. And you can only trust people that you know love you. If you're afraid of someone, you're not going to trust them. We only trust those that we love and we know love us. So that's the first thing you have to find out. You have to, it goes back to what we're talking about before. Do you believe that God loves you? And if you don't, well then you need to work on changing that belief, because God does love you, whether you feel like it or not. God only wants good in your life. But once again, it takes some effort. Take some investing to reach that point if you're not there right now. So exercising your faith. So in other words, I have to believe God to accomplish all this stuff. Because God's the one, what he tells us in other verses, you know, it's, what is he in Philippians? He is both in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God's power, the Holy Spirit resides within us, you know. We just have to go along with the flow. It's really not, you know, on our part, it should be fun. You know, effort, yeah. But, you know, if you were into exercising, you know, exercising isn't fun while you're doing it, but after the fact, you know, you really are feel good because what you accomplished. So it's that kind of a work. It's not drudgery, you know. I know exercise sometimes can feel like drudgery, but, you know, once again, different story. You're exercising your faith to develop virtue. One of the words for virtue, definitions of virtue, is moral excellence. It's a good place to start. Character. If you have some character weaknesses, well, then the book of Proverbs is for you. Because that's what the book of Proverbs is about, is helping us to develop character. To showing us and weaknesses in character and helping us to develop character. And once again, if you have a weakness, you know, if you're prone to lying, hopefully you're not prone to stealing and cheating, but, you know, it's possible. If you're any weakness that we may have, you know, if you have sexual sin is your problem, you know, your issue, God's power in us, we can believe to overcome that. And it comes back to the more I know that God loves me, The more I know who I am in Christ, the less likely I am to commit sin. It just goes along. When I know that someone loves me, it's just natural. I want to please them. I want to do whatever is in me to make them happy. The same thing's true for God. It's not some mystical woo-woo thing out there. God is very practical. So develop, excellence, which is another, word for it, develop excellence. So that's another thing, how much of it in our lives is an attitude of excellence? Or is it just slipshod? Do we just, we just go through, whatever we have to do to get through life? What is our mindset? If we're not investing in ourselves, then, we may not have an excellent spirit. We may not have excellence in us. And then in exercising virtue, I like the way the Amplified says that. What does the King James say? Add to it. I like exercising. I like that way of explaining it. And in exercising virtue or moral excellence, then develop knowledge, which is intelligence. This word knowledge is gnosis, which is understanding is a part of gnosis. Help me out here if I'm wrong. It's leaning towards an experiential knowledge, not as much as the knowledge we're going to go down for, the epinosis, but it's leaning towards an experiential knowledge, and an understanding. We do things differently when we understand them. And then if we just said, somebody tells you to do something and, if you're an analyst, your first question is why, why, no matter what you say, why? But it's an understanding. Okay, this is why I'm going to do this, because whatever. Okay, let's see. And in verse 6, and in exercising knowledge, develop self-control. When I have an understanding of something, then it's likely to be easier for me to practice self-control. And one definition of that is the controlling power of the will under the operation of the Spirit of God. It's a whole lot easier for me to use that. It's years ago, someone taught a message on willpower. My will, his power. When I try to use my power to change my will, then it's likely to be temporary. It's not likely to be successful long term. But when I use, God, this is what I want. I need your wisdom. I need your grace to accomplish this. I need your ability in me because I can't do it on my own. But when I tap into his power, then it's much more likely that I'm going to be, have self-control in whatever area I'm trying to accomplish it in. And let's see, in exercising knowledge, develop self-control. In exercising self-control, develop steadfastness or patience or endurance. One definition of this is cheerful endurance. There's a difference there, isn't there? There's a difference there between endurance and cheerful endurance. I may not like what I'm going through, but it's okay. I'm still flying high because I know God loves me and it's going to be okay. And whatever happens, he's still in this for my good. In other words, he's not causing the negative in my life, but he's going to take me through to the other side and it's going to be okay. I'm going to be okay no matter what happens, no matter how much of things around me fall apart, no matter what in my life goes wrong, I'm still going to be okay. It may not be what I want, but I'm going to be okay. Because God is in me, and God, that's all I need to be okay. Live or die, I'm going to be okay. Die, I'm with him, living, he's with me, so it's going to be okay. Let's see. And then in exercising self-control, it's steadfastness, patience, or endurance. And in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness, or piety, whatever you want to say, which is godlikeness. So now I'm becoming more like God in manifestation. I've always been like God. I've always, this is who I am as a child of God. I am Godlike. You are Godlike. Whether anybody sees it on the outside, that's up to you. But that's who we are. We are Godlike. Because what does Genesis say? We're made in the image of God. It's not to say that, I'm superior when I think I'm Godlike. There's another scripture that talks about us being little gods. This is who I am. Why? Because Jesus Christ lives in me. God lives in me. God lives in you. So I am Godlike. I am love. I am, whatever. It's inside. I just have to, do what's necessary to get it on the outside. Praise God. And in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. Okay, so we're getting down to the end of our process here, back to the verse we were talking about before. So I think it's interesting here that as we become godlike, the first thing that happens is brotherly affection, which is the word Philadelphia, which is not, this is not agape. This is called Philadelphia, which is basically, you know, if nothing else, okay, I start being nice to people around me. I can smile at people, you know, I can hold the door open for them, you know, I can, you know, they step on my toe, I can say, oh, it's okay, you know, whatever, I can just be nice. You know, a lot of the church needs a break to get to that point. But then we go through that one and we take it another step farther. And it says, exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. We finally get to agape. You know, just deciding, okay, I'm going to love like God loves, you know, unless you have already gone through this, it's probably not going to happen, or it's going to take some work. You're going to bite your tongue a lot, you know, you're probably going to take offense and have to deal with, you know, have to deal with the unforgiveness and forgiveness and, you know, all these other things that, you know, that we really wouldn't have to even deal with if we reached this point, if we'd gone through the process, if we have been investing in ourselves by the Spirit of God. You know, God has such a great life for us. We just need to tap into the flow. You know, as we were talking about Thursday night, we just need to harmonize with what God has instead of fighting against it all the time. You know, I want my way. I want my way. I want my way. Well, we can have our way, but, you know, along with that comes pain and discouragement and depression and negativity and sickness and, you know, bondage and poor relationships and problems in our finances. Oh, yeah, I want that life. But that's what we're doing. Because we don't invest in ourselves. We don't believe who we are in Christ. But life can be different. We can, every one of us, we can. If we need to make some changes today, if we need to repent, which just simply means change our mind. I'm going this way, but God, I see today, you don't want this. This isn't mine. I decide I'm going this way. It's not hard. Well, let me put it, it's simple. It's hard determines on whether we're ready to yield control to God. Okay, then going down farther, let's see, how far did we get? We're up to verse 8. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, so as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, in other words, we've been investing in ourselves, so our life is changing. It's just we are being transformed. They will keep you from being idle or unfruitful until the full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Those words, you know, in King James, it says barren or unfruitful. So if we're doing this, if we're going through this process, if we're investing in ourselves, it's going to keep us from this. It's going to keep us from being barren, which is lazy, or shunning the labor which one ought to perform. And unfruitful, being barren, or not yielding what it ought to yield. So if our life is all about, you know, it's nothing is happening, everything's going wrong, you know, it's there's no fruit in my life, you know, there's nothing that I can see that, you know, even shows that I've been a Christian for very long. Well, we need to go back and start investing in ourselves, because obviously the Word of God says here, if you're not investing in yourself, if you're not going through this process, well, this is what you get. This is what your life's going to be. It's going to be barren and unfruitful. Is it God's will? No. God doesn't want it. But, you know, and it's not like I have to work at it. It's just focusing once again on our heart and investing in the Word for nothing else. Okay? Let's see. Verse 9. For whoever lacks these qualities, in other words, these things we just went through, is blind, spiritually short-sighted, seeing only what is near to him, and has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. In other words, when we got born again, we were given a brand new heart. The kingdom of God was open to us. The life of God was open to us. But because, for whatever reason, because of religion, because of lack of knowledge, because of whatever, we did not start investing in ourselves from the beginning. Some of you may have. And you can obviously see your life's different than if someone hasn't. Or we can start investing in the beginning, and then what happens along the way? Well, life happens. You know, if something goes wrong, you know, someone gets offended, you know, this happens. And so we stop investing. You know, we pull away from God. You know, we pull away from the church. Or we can just keep going to church and just go through the motions and just everything just kind of goes right over the top. We don't apply any of it. You know, the Ephesians chapter 4 talks about we become apathetic. We become hard-hearted. And so we get to this point. We are short-sighted. We're blind. You know, you can have some people you can have a conversation with about the things of God. You know, they're telling you about everything that's wrong in their life. And you try, you know, share it with them. Try to share the word with them or offer to pray for them. And, you know, you pray for them. And as soon as you pray for them, what comes out of their mouth? The same thing that they were talking to about before. Or you try to share the word with them and it goes absolutely nowhere. You know, that's what the word talks about, throwing pearls before swine. It's a waste of time. If someone is not opening to receive, opening to hear, you're wasting your time preaching to them. Pray for them, intercede for them, but you're wasting your time preaching. Oh, you're more likely to make them more hardened against God than, you know. But we have to check out ourselves. You know, am I looking just as life as I see it? You know, the word tells us, don't look at what's seen, look at the unseen. Look at what, you know, if you're not experiencing life as God has designed it for you, then look at the unseen. Focus, you know, invest in what the unseen is. Focus in and invest in what God says belongs to you. Well, it makes no sense. I have no idea how this would happen. How in the world? I have been sick for 49 years. How in the world could I get over this? How in the world could my life change? I don't know. I just know God says it will. Whatever I believe, I will receive. If I abide in Him and His words abide in me, whatever I ask for will be done for me, that, you know, that Father may be glorified in heaven. Amen. That's how much He loves us. But we're never going to get there if we don't invest in what, you know, invest in ourselves. It's all there for us. It's all available to us. One more scripture here. Verse 10, it says, because of this, brethren, be all the more solicitous and eager to make sure, to ratify, to strengthen, to make steadfast your calling and election. For if you do this, you will never stumble or fall. Amen. Why do people fall away from God? There's been no investing. There's been no, you know, applying this process. And there's a lot of other scriptures. You can find other scriptures. I just picked this portion to go through this morning. But it's up to us. We are personally responsible for our lives. We're personally responsible for the decisions that we make. We're personally responsible for the beliefs that we have. You know, science is so, in some ways, it's very sad because science is so far ahead of the church in some ways. Because science has discovered that what I believe, I receive. But in the church, you know, well, you know, I don't know if that's really true. You know, I don't know. I just think God just does this stuff. You know, I just, you know, and whatever happens is going to happen. And, you know, I, you know, you say that, you know, God wants me healed, but I don't think that's really true for today. Or, you know, but the world, you know, the world, there's people in the world that are getting healed of terminal diseases, you know, injuries that are unbelievable. They are getting healed by changing their beliefs. When is the church going to catch up? We have had it all the time. The Word has told us this since we knew about the Word. When are we going to actually start believing that when God says is actually true? It's our choice. Will you invest in yourself? Will you take the effort to do whatever is necessary? So if you don't love yourself, whatever is necessary to get so you start believing that you are worthy, you are worthy, you are valuable. If no other reason, because God says you are. Doesn't matter what people, you know, if people have told you, you know, that you're not worth anything, if you have been rejected, you've been rejected and rejected, it doesn't matter. When you have an understanding and a knowledge and an experience, God loves me, everything else is going to be okay, because I know God loves me. And God will bring people into my life, you know, as I change my belief, God will bring people into my life. I will draw people to me that accept me and love me when I change my beliefs. Praise God. Father, we come before you through Jesus Christ. We open ourselves up to you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for what Jesus did for us. And Father, we know that some of us here, some people are brokenhearted. And for whatever reason, things that have happened in their past, things that has been said to them, things that have been done to them, Father, their hearts have been broken. But Father, we thank you because your word declares that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And so no matter what has happened to us in the past, we know that Jesus came to heal that. Jesus came to heal the pains in our heart, the wounds, the rejection, the poor self-worth, the lack of having confidence to be able to accomplish anything, to fulfill what you have called us to. And so, Father, I just ask right now, according to your word, that the healing power of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit would enter and flow through this congregation today. And as we go into praise and worship, Father, that your healing power will flow through the broken hearts today. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are within us and you will open our eyes, you will open our ears, you will open our hearts to any decisions that we have to make, anything that we need to repent of to bring this healing to manifestation. And so we just open ourselves up to you. We thank you for it. We know it belongs to us because you said so. And so we thank you through the power of Jesus Christ. We will begin to see life change, transformation within us today. We thank you for it in his name. Amen.